o'clock hour. I'm Lillian Tausch. Begins now. So, wait, are we rehashing a conversation that you and Jesse had while I was gone? Is that what we're doing here?
We have options. You steer the ship. I'll try to avoid icebergs.
You are an iceberg. Look, I think this is really interesting. You said... Jesse, we have to get on the same page. Do you want to talk about Jordan Love, Aaron Rodgers,
is
and football?
Jana, so I think we've made some really good strides with Jana in Pittsburgh. Like, I felt like she was always kind of anti-T. Then I think we kind of swayed her. And then I gave a Survivor, well, maybe not fully, but then I gave a Survivor recap that spoiled it, which is, by the way, Jana, the show's been over for a month. I've been painstakingly not looking at social media to figure out who won. And now it turns out she's a bridge engineer? Jana is?
A text from Jana in Pittsburgh. I'm not sinkhole Jana, but a bridge engineer. So soil characteristics are very important for our foundations. Jesse, did you only copy a portion of the message? Is there more insight from her?
No, that's all that was there.
Jana, we're going to need more, because here's the thing. One of the things the Wildy and Tausch crew believes in, regardless of what you may have heard about Tausch being an NBA expert, is that we believe in experts. We are not going to fake our way through. Tausch is very insightful about a lot of things. I just heard a promo of him breaking down the Brewers. But we're experts on the Packers here. We got one guy who's played in the league for 11 years and has been following them ever since. Got another one. Ah, there we go. More sinkhole.
There was more to it. Who knew?
That's off the, I did, apparently. So we appreciate experts. Speaking of which, at the bottom of the 10 o'clock hour, we're going to talk to Justin Garcia, our Bucks buddy. He's our expert on the Bucks to give us insights into A.J. Johnson and the global impact that Tony Parker has had on the NBA's growth in France and elsewhere. But Jana is an expert on soil and bridge building, apparently. So the long and short of sinkholes is that there are voids underground. Those can be due to things like extraction of groundwater, freeze slash thaw of groundwater, underground holes slash mines, etc., that the surface collapses into.
Yeah. So, Jana, that's very insightful. But my question is, why would we build a monster soccer complex on some of those voids?
How do you know whether that void is there or not, would be my question.
Well, because you're an engineer, you build it, you're going to say, yeah, it's structurally safe. That's why we have engineers. No?
Yes. Again, my training is in journalism from the University of Wisconsin, not in engineering. But I'm guessing that when they built that field, they did not think there was the potential of a sinkhole. That they didn't have the indications.
Tell that to the people swallowed up in a sinkhole. Well, we said we didn't think there was.
Especially the heavy set fellas. Again, I'll have to break down the film a little further to see if that was a artificial turf or a grass field that collapsed in Illinois. Do we know at this point, Jesse, since you're the fact checker on the show, sort of, since Josh is on vacation, was anybody injured in that?
No, nobody was injured, so that's why the video is like compelling and not sad to watch, because it was empty at the time. And I did hear on Good Morning America in preparation for the show
today. So that's the best place to prepare for this show, you know.
The underground mine portion of what Jana just referred to in her text was what led to the sinkhole in Illinois. There was an underground mine that collapsed in with that light pole and bleachers and everything that happened there.
So wait, were there miners that were like digging for iron ore and such? Is that what you mean by a mine?
No, I that thus
you
ends my
know.
Knowledge on the sinkhole.
Okay. Back to Jordan Love. Tausch, you had this conversation with Jesse. I did not catch it on Wisconsin On Demand or on a YouTube replay on the ESPN Milwaukee or ESPN Madison YouTube channels. Where did you arrive on who in the NFL would rather have Aaron Rodgers than Jordan Love as of today?
Yeah, the only teams that we thought for sure would do that would be the Las Vegas Raiders. That was the only team that we came up with.
Well, that's
and
not.
I think
wait a
we
minute.
Also thought
that's
potentially. Hold up, if I may. San
Is this
Francisco
what last
and
week
LA,
was like?
San Francisco and LA Rams, we also threw in the mix, but those were the only three teams, and I came to the conclusion I don't think Kyle Shanahan would do that now, but I still think McVay might. So I only had two or three teams that would do it, and that includes the New York Jets.
And you don't you think they would rather have Jordan Love now too? They should have traded for Love instead.
I'll tell you, the Indianapolis Colts trying to trade for Jordan Love now, when it was the like year one and year two, maybe I need to give Bob Irsay a little more credit than I do.
Hmm.
Hitting third base, hitting a triple. I'm not going to, because I still think he's a buffoon. But I think when you look at, it's always easy for people to say one thing 6 years down the road.
Mm-hmm.
It's another thing to actually, you know, be in the mix and try to do something.
So we all at this point agree, though, that with the potential, part of this is Aaron Rodgers is going to be 41 years old. He's coming off of a ruptured Achilles. He has not exactly, for some of the American population, said a lot of things that endear him to fan bases.
Yeah, and, fans. And I don't think fans care one iota about that, though. I don't. I think they care who's going to win us games. Who's going to win us football games? They don't necessarily care about his views on whatever. Like, I just don't think that just adds to your already, I'm sick of him, I'm done. If he was still playing like he did in 20 and 21, nobody would care two rips about that part of it.
Agreed. And the next phrase that was coming out of my mouth was, he didn't play last season other than four snaps, and he didn't play in 2022 at the level that he played at in 2020 and 2021. So this becomes, in my opinion, a bit of a no-blank-blank exercise.
Yeah.
Because maybe. Because the point that Mike Tannenbaum and Dan Orlovsky and Greg Cosell and Greeny, the point they're all making is that not only is Jordan Love good now, but you are now extrapolating him out for the next 10 years plus to be this good. That's why you would rather have him. If Aaron Rodgers was 10 years younger and playing at the level that he was then, no one would be saying, I'd rather have the guy who played eight great games. But where Rodgers is at, this is a no-brainer now.
I think why it's not, or it is, but you're saying it's for one calendar year. It's just for this coming season. And do you think that, you know, is it more that you think Rodgers is done and washed? Or is it more that you just think Jordan Love's that good? That's why I thought it was intriguing. Hmm. Because obviously he's got the Achilles and he's coming back. But if you think Jordan Love's going to have a little slippage and maybe have some ups and downs, and Aaron Rodgers is going to be on a vendetta tour, which I think a lot of us think he's going to try, sometimes your body won't let you do what your mind wants you to do. I'd love to still be able to slide out to my left on some of these pickleball shots and be able to put some weight and be able to hit shots back. I can't do that as much. And people that I'm playing against are noticing that, and they're attacking me there, and it irritates me.
I still want
to be great. Aaron Rodgers is never going to be more motivated than he is right now. Everybody is doubting him.
Mm-hmm.
People are putting – so he is going to want to be great, and he's going to want to get the Jets into the playoffs more than he's ever wanted anything professionally. I don't know if he's going to be able to pull it off for a lot of reasons. One is, can he stay healthy? And has he still got it? The fact that there's a ton of people that feel the way that I do, that there's a lot of teams that would take Jordan Love over him for the 1 year, I think that's probably a big motivator too. I think he's probably like, I've done this for 17, 18 years. How dare anybody say this? Well, it's been 2 years, man. It's been a long time. It's been 84 years since that. I don't know if that is that a Titanic reference. That just leads you to say, are you more bullish on Jordan's this season Or do you think there's slippage? And right now, nobody thinks there's going to be any slippage.
No, they don't.
I think that's probably an optimistic, like an overly optimistic, because there's going to be some ups and downs. It's not going to be take the league by storm and no squalls or anything. What's the tornado that's linear? It's just a linear. We talked about it last week. A linear tornado, not the spinning one. We just saw one in Illinois.
I wasn't here last week.
Straight line tornado.
Straight line tornado. I'll do some fact checking on that.
We did not talk about tornadoes last week.
I do want to explore this further. We were going to play Take It to the Bank. We're not going to bother with that. Instead, I'm just going to tell you how great Associated Bank is for a myriad of reasons. One, of course, best customer service in the industry. Just won another J.D. Power Award for their great service in retail banking. Two, early pay. If you've got direct deposit for your paycheck, you could get your money up to 2 days early with early pay. You never know when you have an expense you're not expecting. And it's going to help you to have that money a little bit earlier, potentially. And, of course, three, if you're a Packers fan, there's no better place to be with Packers checking. Get your Packers debit MasterCard. You get your discount at the Packers Pro Shop. So go to associatedbank.com/Packers to find out more about that. All right.
Duracho. Brian D. just texted me. Duracho is the straight line tornado.
Okay, can he confirm where you had that conversation?
Well, I'm not going to ask him to cite where I talked about it. I know where I talked about it.
Apparently not, based on what
Jesse said. Doesn't think.
We did not say the word
Jesse
Duracho.
Jesse was so frustrated and frustrated. And
Jason Duracho, I love his music. No, that's Derulo. Sorry, my bad. We will get to this Aaron Rodgers Jordan Love conversation. No, that wasn't good. I got the laughter from the soon to be former president. That was bad. Plus, we got to get ready for Justin Garcia, our Bucks buddy, to talk NBA draft and the first round, and then what might be happening today with that 3 o'clock start of round two. That's all coming up. Stick around. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
So we don't discuss Aaron Rodgers very frequently on this show anymore. Once upon a time, it felt like it was every day, and for good reason. But I am curious, based on this conversation that you and Jesse had, not to be confused with the, what is it, the Derulo tornado? What is it again?
Derecho.
Derecho?
Derecho.
Derecho. Heard it both ways.
As much as I'd like to explore that further, you have heard it both ways on the show just now, although one is probably correct and one is not. But we don't talk about Aaron Rodgers very often anymore. But I am curious, after all the things you just outlined, the motivation, the personality that he has, Aaron Rodgers in don't bet against me mode is fascinating to me. So do you think that in whatever it's going to be, 8 months, 9 months, whatever it is, and the 2024 season then is behind us, that we will be sitting there saying Aaron Rodgers had a better 2024 season or Jordan Love had a better 2024 season?
Jordan Love. The Jets schedule is going to be tough. You have a coach and a general manager. I've seen this movie before. I've been a part of a team where you have a lot of people going to be CYA-ing. Where it's not this. Oh, well, you know.
It's not my fault.
The fact that Bob Sala and Joe Douglas, I'm shocked I still know his name. that they went and did what they did with this mandatory mini camp, I can assure you, old boy ain't happy about that.
No.
That I feel very, very confident in. And the fact that, does he feel like this is a group that is here? And by I'm putting my hands together like a unified front? Or is it, well, I got my guy? You know, when stuff would happen and we'd be in the old line room, and if somebody said, I got my guy, you knew the ship was sinking. I feel like there's a lot of I got my guys. And maybe it will be they're going to catch lightning in a bottle. And if they do, they could ride that. But I'm telling you, when you build a football team, you better build it for when stuff starts happening, you don't have a bunch of I got my guy guys.
Mm-hmm.
A bunch of I got my guy guys ends you up 4-12 and a bunch of guys that ain't in the building no more. That would be my guess on how this Jets season goes. And the Packers, on the other hand, I think a lot of the I got my guy guys are not there. I think there's a lot of let's get this thing rolling. Let's go. Let's do this. And, you know, when things don't go. And I think the coaches would tell you that too. And I'm guessing it's pretty rewarding and fulfilling as a coach when you have that. So who's going to have a better season? I'd feel very confident to say Jordan Love.
Yeah. Jesse, are you on the same page?
Yes, I am, for all the reasons Tausch said. I think the Jets' schedule is just not favorable, even though they finished near the bottom last year. Like, they still play a tough one, all those primetime games up early. I just like the trajectory that the Packers are on. I feel confident that it's going to be good this year. I'm happy that I'm saying that because I didn't think that going into last season. So, yeah, I'm excited about it, and I think Jordan Love is going to prove everybody right. Tausch and I talked last week. I think one of the biggest signs of...
Duracho?
No, we didn't talk about the derecho tornadoes. I don't know where that happened. It wasn't on this show. I think one of the biggest signs of praise that the Packers have something that's going to be long-term success is that you're seeing people around the league say that the Packers' model of drafting and developing quarterbacks and letting them sit for a couple of years is working. And you're starting to see, like, the Falcons are trying to do that, and other teams are trying to replicate that model, seeing now that three times in a row it's happening. And it's not just pundits saying it, it's other teams are starting to try and do it. And to me, that's what shows some validation that Jordan Love's here to stay and he's going to be really good.
I think it's only happened twice, but your point is well taken. Didn't really happen with Favre. He was forced to play when Magic broke his ankle, and it turned out great. And
a little bit before Thanksgiving, I think.
No, Magic. September. But be that as it may.
Yeah, a little bit before.
A lot of it before Thanksgiving. Tausch, before we get to our Bucks buddy Justin Garcia, you need to tell us about Quick Trip.
Indeed, I do, and it's baseball season. You know, man, going to all these tournaments, even when they're not, when they're getting delayed. Muskego, all over the place with my family, and of course, plenty of tailgates to attend. When I need to stock up on snacks and drinks for everything, you know I'm making a stop at Quick Trip, and I'm going to use my Quick Rewards. I have really fallen in love with the Quick Rewards. I'm always looking like, God, what's going on today at Quick Rewards? So let me see here. Head to your local Quick Trip today. Purchase select Gatorade, Gatorlights, Gatorade Water, or Fast Twitch products using your Quick Rewards. This is the read that throws me off a little bit.
Uh-oh.
And you're automatically entered to win a game day prize pack. You could win four tickets to a suite for the Brewers' July 21st game against the Minnesota Twins, but that's not all. You could also be able to watch batting practice and even throw out the first pitch. Plus a $500 gift card to the Team Store. $500 in Quick Trip gift cards, batting practice gift cards, a view from the suites, and throwing out the first pitch just by grabbing some Gatorade. Get full contest details at quicktrip.com/sweepstakes. No purchase is necessary.
I had some offer remorse in the Quick Trip app the other day.
How so?
They had a order ahead and receive 75 cents off a gallon, but you had to do it by the 24th, and I realized on the 25th that I didn't order ahead, and I missed it. Really upset with myself. That was a golden opportunity. So those are the kind of great deals.
So the kids love the for reals, as you know, but not in the smoothie bar. where I didn't even know. You put it in the thing, and then it slides over, and then they dump it all. And they did a 2-for-1 on that,
yes,
where you get one, buy one, get one free. It's just, there's always something going on there. That's why it's so addicting.
Yeah, those are the top-notch smoothies. They did that for Smoothie Day. So, again, make sure you're checking out the Quick Trip app so you don't miss out on those kinds of great opportunities to rack up big savings on your gas and your other purchases at Quick Trip. All right, we need to get to our Bucks buddy Justin Garcia to make sense of what happened during the NBA draft last night and see what we should expect moving forward from the Bucks. He will join us next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com.
Joining us now to educate, elucidate, and enlighten us on all things NBA and the Milwaukee Bucks is our Bucks buddy from the Bucks Radio Network with the best theme music of anyone on our program. It is the great Justin Garcia with a great hat and some great shoes in the background. How you doing, buddy?
I'm good. How are you guys?
What is the tie-dye hat there? What is the logo? I can't make it out.
It is it's a golf brand. That's I have way too many hats.
Are you a big golfer?
I don't know about big. I golf. Not as much as I used to.
I like this.
But
JG, are you going to be out at the ESPN Milwaukee Open, which I think is middle of July?
I would have to get an invite for it. So,
okay, well,
TBD,
we know. So here's my thought process.
Oh, here we go.
Because Jason
just got a
loves
fourth.
You. We really like you. Let's go, and this will be Jason Wildy Breaks 200 Challenge with his good buddy, JG. You on board? Oh, boy. Hey, oh, boy.
How many holes are we talking about to break 200? Also, way to really downplay it. If Jason loves you, we can tolerate you, the rest of us.
That's not what I said. Well, Jason, listen, we really like you, JG, but Jason goes overboard and he promotes your shows constantly. So I just want to be shooting straight with you. Jason, we think we can use you as a fishing lure to get Wildy to actually do this thing that he won't do with us.
We're using you.
I don't know if you mind being used, but we're going to try to use you.
Interesting choice of words to start that sentence. We think we can use you. Well, let's.
You want me to lie?
No, I don't want you to lie.
JG, are you on board if we can get Wildy out there? Are you on board?
If you can get me an invite to it and
let's
we can get Jason out there, I'm on board.
Right. We're in.
We'll get you an invite. I can guarantee you that. All right.
We are excited.
If we could use you for your insights into the Bucks and the draft and A.J. Johnson, the Fresno/Australian draft pick, tell us what you know and what you've learned about A.J. Johnson and how he is the next Giannis from what some are saying on social media.
Are some really saying that on social media? Because all the social media I've seen was not a lot of excitement. So it's funny, too. We'll get to A.J. Johnson in a second. But going into the offseason, all the chatter from Bucks fans were, hey, they got to get younger and more athletic and preferably bigger size on the wings with their guards, guys that are quicker and bring that athleticism. And they do that. And granted, he's not a guy that's going to step in and help you next year. In all likelihood, he's a project, more of a prospect. But as soon as it happens, terrible draft pick. What are the Bucks doing here? They're squandering the next couple of years. He's very raw. He has a lot of nice tools. He had apparently one of his best workouts for the Bucks than any other team. Sam Vecenie of The Athletic was the first to kind of sniff it out about an hour before the draft of, I think this is where they're headed. he's in Australia and is very familiar with all those players in the NBL. But you can see the things that he does in workouts, granted, that would lead you to say, okay, this is something we can get excited about. I don't mind not a long-term project, but a guy that is not going to be a rotational piece next year, that you see some things that you can develop, and he's going to be there for, I wouldn't say the second wave, but as you're starting to think, how do we reconfigure this with Brook Lopez and Chris Middleton both entering lock years, what is that going to mean going forward? And is this kind of how the Warriors talked about two timelines? Is this our second timeline of Giannis and some younger guys? It makes sense there. I think the frustration with Bucks fans is he's a guy that's probably going to spend all the season or most of it in Oshkosh with the Herd, and he's not going to be a bench piece for you this year. But that was always the challenging piece was you want to get younger. You already have 3 to 4, however you view it, young guys on your roster that you're looking to develop. And I just never thought the Bucks were going to carry that many young guys into this season when your goal is still a championship. Half of your roster isn't going to be second or third year guys that weren't lottery picks that you're trying to develop.
Is Marjon Beauchamp still on the team?
He is, yeah. He's on the team, and we heard Doc Rivers, granted, you take it with a grain of salt because it's what all coaches do, but we heard Doc Rivers really talk him up at his end-of-season press conference and saying, look, that's a guy that has some of those tools we talked about. We get a full offseason to work with him, his expanded coaching staff now with the additions he's continued to make. And Marjon was, I think we all kind of latched on to Andre Jackson Jr. and A.J. Green. They moved past him by season's end. But Marjon was dealing with some injuries towards the end of the season, which really kind of limited the limited practices that the Bucks had, but any other chances for Doc Rivers to get a look at him.
So you think that there is some youth on this roster, because Tausch, our NBA expert when you're not available, has pointed out repeatedly they need to get younger. And he's right. I give him grief, but he, more often than not, when he says something, he's right about it. Do you see them being able to do that? And then we can get into how they're going to get younger by trading Brook Lopez to get off that second apron of the luxury tax and everything else with you coming up. But do you believe they have young players that are going to be good enough to help them get younger with actual quality as opposed to just getting younger with having more young players in the rotation?
I think they're in a better spot now than they've been during this Bucks championship contenders era. I mean, part of it is just the volume of guys. It's always really just been one guy that you would look at. Man, can Thon Maker develop? Dante DiVincenzo was the guy for the longest time.
So he appears to
have developed pretty well. He's developed.
He developed nicely. Developed quite nicely. But hey, you got Serge Ibaka for him.
They did.
But they have a handful of those guys. I think, obviously, the ones that are easiest to latch on to, I don't know that he's going to start, but I think we've seen enough to know, especially with all indications Malik Beasley is going to find more than a veteran's minimum elsewhere. A.J. Green is going to continue to have a big opportunity to kind of be, in some ways, like your Duncan Robinson, and a guy that has one very lethal skill set of shooting that you've developed and figured out ways to keep him on the floor. So I think his role is probably going to increase this upcoming season. And I think the tricky part with Andre is the defense is NBA ready, and you see everything there. I'm not going to say all NBA caliber, but very good. The challenge for Doc Rivers and his staff is how do we develop the offense? Because he was a negative offensive player, and that's going to be the tricky part about lineups with him on the floor with Giannis that everybody points to. Hey, you should start at the two-guard spot. If you have two non-shooters on the floor, and one especially that you can help off of in Andre Jackson Jr., it just makes it all the more difficult for Chris Middleton and Damian Lillard. So his offensive development, to me, is going to really indicate how much of an expansion of a role he takes on next season. And Marjon is the total wild card. I don't think it was lip service when the Bucks drafted him and really talked him up. A lot of the same things that we heard last night, too, about how excited they were for some of the things that he brings to the table. of those two guys, of A.J. Green and Andre Jackson Jr., Marjan has the best combination of offense and defense. Andre's more defense, A.J.'s a shooter. Injuries have been a big piece of it, but he's another guy you look at and you say everything we just mentioned. You got to get more athletic and younger and guys that are bigger on the wing. He fits all of those. So I'm not sure what to expect because we didn't see a lot of him last year, but that doesn't mean the door is slammed shut on him. I think the challenge is, are all three of those guys going to be big rotational pieces and big parts of your bench? That's the part I'm not so sure about, because this is still a team to win a championship, and it's still three guys that we're talking about. You see things you like, but they're not finished products. And how heavily are you going to lean on that when those are your expectations?
Justin, you talked about the second apron. What? I told you I had one more. What? I was hoping JG would stick around for another segment, because I do want to get into Chris Middleton and Brolo and Connaughton and Bobby and what's going to happen. But this second apron thing, can you explain? Because Jason said yesterday, you don't get a mid-level exemption and you can't trade salaries for salaries. Can you explain what that looks like, and are the Bucks for certain going to be in that for this season?
For next season, not necessarily. For the season that ends in, 2 days? So the league year ends at the end of June. They are in it. There's no way to avoid that. For next season, there are ways that they can get out of it. We can get into that. I can stick around for another segment. But long and short of it is, you don't want to be in the second apron. You can do it once. You don't want to live in there because of everything it takes off the table for you. It basically means all you can do is sign guys to a veteran's minimum.
You can stick around for another segment. You will stick around for another segment. We look forward to another segment with our Bucks buddy Justin Garcia. More next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
On the air, on demand, on social, on Wisconsin Sports. Serving Wisconsin sports fans. This is 100.5 ESPN.
More with Justin Garcia. We'll see if we have enough time to get into sinkholes and the greater than Michael Jordan's influence on the international game that Tony Parker had. But before that, we need to figure out who the hell's going to be on this Bucks roster. And we need to start with what Tausch brought up yesterday, and that is the Brolo possible departure that is being bandied about in league circles. Justin, is he a goner?
That's a tough one. I am inclined to say no, just because, so there's a couple of ways to look at it. I think number one, I've been a staunch Brook Lopez defender for years now. It's easy to look at last season and say, well, Brook's old and he's washed and you got to move on from him. But I've kind of made the comparison for the last year or so of, it's very similar to when you're watching a football game and you see a touchdown where it's a passing touchdown, a cornerback gets beat as you perceive it. You say, well, that guy blew the coverage. And the reality is most of us don't know. What was his responsibility? Was it supposed to be a zone? Was somebody supposed to shade over and help him? And it's very similar with Brook in that it's easy to look at guys hitting the floater over him and challenging him at the rim and scoring and say, well, he's lost his step and you got to move on because you can't switch with him and yada, yada, yada. But for 5 years, Brook Lopez was your linchpin, and he played in a defense that was set up to funnel everything into him. He contested the most shots in the league last year, and he's always been around the top in the league, but it's been by design. And last year, it was because you had no perimeter defense where he was constantly under attack. I think even regardless of how substantive they are, the teams that you see linked to him, that shows you teams recognize the value. And he is still a very good stretch five in terms of his offensive game. And with the right components around him, he is a very effective defensive player. If you trade him, the question then becomes, what are you doing at center, right? Like, Giannis doesn't want to play center full time. And you can understand why. You can use that for the playoffs. But do you want to put all that wear and tear on him? Even if it's, you know, not the traditional back to the basket bigs anymore, it's still asking a lot. Not to mention, you don't have a backup center on the roster. Giannis and Bobby Portis are your backup bigs. And there's not any real solid options out there in terms of free agency, depending on what happens with the Bucks cap situation. But even then, Isaiah Hartenstein is really the best free agent center out there. The Bucks are not in the neighborhood of what he is going to command for salary. So the fact that you didn't use that 23rd pick to draft a big that you felt like can play this year, and there are some that will be available at 33, but still the fact that you didn't use it for that, I don't know what other options there are. And I don't foresee a team saying, we're going to trade you one of our centers that's going to match what you want to do, that can switch more defensively for Brooke Lopez because we think he fits us better. So I don't really see a big coming back for Brooke, which kind of leads me to think if you're going to make any cap-saving moves, you're better off trying to use someone else to do that on your roster. And there's the two names, obviously, that everybody kicks around in Pat Connaughton and Bobby Portis. I think Marjan is a name that you could throw out there as well. They couldn't trade their first-round pick via technicality because of the Stepien rule. They can trade it now that they've made it. So who knows? Maybe that pick last night was made for somebody else, and it's part of a trade that's coming up. But I think it's just you look at the age, which I get, but also the contract figure and say, well, that's the best way that you can save money and bring in good players at that contract value. And I just don't know what the trade is that involves Brooke Lopez that makes you a better team.
Does Doc Rivers want Brooke Lopez to be his center? Does he want to play defense that way? Because that we know Bud did. And then there was, yeah, well, we're not going to do it with Griffin. And then he, after a couple games, said, maybe we should. What does Doc want to do?
Well, that's the million-dollar question. I mean, we've heard the rumblings of Doc wants to be more versatile defensively. And even last year, towards the end of the season, we saw games where Brooke didn't really close. He did in the playoffs and late when you had injuries out of necessity. But I still think you need that arrow to use. Like, you need to – versatility means having a traditional big, but also we need to switch and have different lineups that we can play. I think the other piece of it with Brooke, too, is, you know – if you keep him going into the season, he's going to be a pretty big trade chip and a valuable asset if things aren't working out and say, okay, here's how we can bring something else in that fits with us, because it's a $23 million expiring contract to use at the midpoint of the season for teams that want to get off of salary. Or if you just, you know, see, can this work? Can we find a switchable big and other ways to play? And Brooke plays as well, where we use different lineups. Again, it's a $23 million expiring contract that, you know, next offseason, there's a good chance they can get under that second apron for this season. But it helps you out even more next offseason, where you would have a mid-level exception to use if that $23 million is off the books. And still, with the cap going up 10% every year starting next year, be in all of a sudden a decent spot cap-wise.
So how are you going to get out of this apron situation if you're not going to get rid of Brolo?
So right now, so they're not going to avoid it for the season that ends in 2024. The big thing is you don't want to be there multiple years, back-to-back years, because that's when things start to happen. If your picks get frozen 7 years out and potentially lose those, you can't trade them. So right now, at this very moment, they are roughly $3 to $4 million under that second apron figure for this upcoming season, but that's just with 11 players under contract. The veterans minimum is just under $3 million, so there's no way they're going to avoid it as presently structured. You got to shave off about $4.5 million from your cap to get under that second apron for next season. And I think the most logical way to do that, when you look at some of these contracts, you could trade one of your younger players. It wouldn't be enough. It would have to be separate moves because you can't aggregate deals until or contracts until you get under that second apron. Mm-hmm. You could move a young player for future draft picks, and that would shave some off. Or the most logical ones would be the names of Pat Connaughton and Bobby Portis, because you can't combine those two in a trade. But you could send out, let's say, Pat Connaughton, for example, and his $9.4 million. You could send that out to a team. You would probably have to attach some type of sweetener. Maybe that's the 33rd pick, because there's a lot of teams that are reportedly showing interest in moving up to those first three picks in the second round. But you could attach some things to that, bring back a player that makes $4 million or so in a cap-saving move, and a player that you think could help you next year, and that would get you under that second apron level, assuming you fill out the rest of your roster with veterans minimums.
How many teams, because it was interesting, the Brook Lopez talk started, and you saw the Lakers and the Rockets and all the other teams that are super interested, and that's what made me start Golden State. How many teams would be interested in Pat Connaughton or Bobby Portis? Is Pat Connaughton someone that you can trade and get anything back for at this point?
That's going to be the tough one of the two, because of what we've seen. I mean, the age is a factor now as well. Pat Connaughton's going to turn 32 already during next season. And his play declined, obviously, the last 2 years. Part of that, you could say, was injuries. Part of it maybe is you maximized everything you could get out of him as a role player for those first few years. So that's one you get the sense you would definitely have to attach other sweeteners to it. And that's, again, the tricky part is you can't combine anything. So as long as you're in the second apron, you couldn't say, we're going to trade you Pat Connaughton and a draft pick, and we're going to give you Andre Jackson Jr. as well because other teams are high on him. You can't combine deals going out if you're in that second apron. They could trade, let's say, Brook Lopez and his $23 million. You could bring back two or three players as long as it's less than that $23 million. Bobby Portis, I think, has value across the league because when you look at it, he's a guy that plays basically every game, every season, since he's come to Milwaukee, and largely since he's been in the league. He was in the sixth man of the year running the last 2 years, and you know what to expect from him. He's a guy that could score 20 or more a night. He's going to get you close to 10 rebounds as well. And I think there's teams that see the value in that of, look, he's not going to be our best player, but he's going to be a guy that's going to help our second unit or play alongside a switchable big man. So I think in terms of what the value is, there is value for Brook Lopez. There's a lot of value, I think, for Bobby Portis as well, especially that contract is only about $12 or $13 million.
Chris Middleton, will he for surely be on this team? Because you said expiring contract. He obviously showed what he can do, and I think really reinvigorated the fan base with what he did in that Indiana series. Is he a definite, like, yes, he'll be back?
I lean towards yes. I mean, if for no other reason than the relationship he has with Giannis. I know that wasn't a factor in Drew Holiday getting traded, but I think the big piece is, you know, number one, I don't know, not to say that he doesn't have value, but realistically, what are you giving up for Chris Middleton out there as another team in the league?
Is he an expiring contract, though, too? Is his contract
expiring? He has a player option for the season after, which I would assume
he's
going to decline.
He's
going to
keep that, right? Oh, he'll decline it?
Well, he could decline it. And again, if you see what Chris Middleton did in the playoffs and you get some of that during the regular season, you decline it and you work out instead of this 1 year for 33, I think it is, $1 million, let's turn that into 3 years for maybe I save you some money again, but $28 to $30 million where you're saving some cap space, but I'm getting more years.
I don't know about that. I'd be a little leery of that.
The thing if you're a team, what are you going to give up for Chris Middleton when injuries have, like, I don't think he's injury prone, but at some point when you've had it, you know, even if it's been fluke injuries that he's run into, I'm not going to call a guy injury prone for slipping on a wet spot in a playoff game. But the fact is he's missed significant time each of the last few seasons. He's going to be 33 during the season. He could walk after the season. So I just don't know. It's kind of similar to the Brook Lopez trade. What's the trade you make for Chris Middleton where you feel like we won the trade or we got back equal value. I don't know what it is. I don't know if there's one that's out there.
Any last one for me? I know we got to let you go. Wiggins from Golden State. I saw some rumblings on the old Twitter machine. You're not buying. You're shaking your head. You're not buying.
No, I would, because look, here's the thing too with Andrew Wiggins. He's at 26 million, goes up to 28 the year after. He has a player option for 30 million the year after that. Well, you would save money. So let's say, I mean, the only one that you could trade for him would be Chris Middleton, unless you want to trade Damian Lillard or Giannis, just because of that cap situation. But the Warriors are also in that spot. They're in a worse spot than the Bucks are. So they can't take back more money in a trade. But even if you could, you know, Andrew Wiggins really had that 1 year in 2022. I know there was some personal stuff going on, but that was the aberration year. That was the anomaly. And every other year, it's been very disappointing. So do you really want to sign up for that much money to say, hey, we think that 1 year out of a 10-year career, that 1 year is actually who he is.
Yeah, I agree with you there. Next last one for me. Brooklyn, they are in Tank City. It's Tank City for them. Who is there anybody there? That you talked about the bigs. Is there anybody that we'd want to try? Because it seems like, let's go take a look. They're thinking about, okay, we'll take some picks. Anyone from the Brooklyn Nets that would be a fit for this roster?
Well, I mean, Dorian Finney-Smith, I think, is the name that was linked to the Bucks last year as well. He's going to have a lot of suitors, though. But again,
the old Maverick, right? He was a Maverick for a while.
Yeah.
I like him.
His best days.
I want him. Bring him.
He's good. He would fit what you need, but I think the challenge is his best days are probably behind him. It's a one-year deal that you're dealing with for him. Working out the trade would also be the difficult part because he's at just under $15 million. So, again, it leaves you with pretty much just Brook Lopez that you could offer. I know he's still the leading scorer in franchise history for the Nets, but that doesn't make sense for them where they're headed. Cam Johnson, to me, is the name that if you could wave a magic wand and get off of that Brooklyn Nets roster, Cam Johnson, is the guy because he's a very good supplemental guy, a tertiary scorer. He's a very switchable defender, has good size.
Tertiary?
He's only 28 years old.
What does that word mean?
Not a primary. Just keep going down the list.
Oh, okay.
His contract declines year after year, too. So it gets smaller each of the next few years. The challenge there is he's at $23+ million, more than Brook Lopez. So you could not trade straight up Brook Lopez for Cam Johnson because of the second apron piece. You can't bring back more money than you send out. And in a Cam Johnson trade, let's say you send Brook for him, you're bringing back $600,000 more, which is not allowed under the second apron.
This apron thing is... it's tough sledding. Tough apron. It's tertiary. It should be a tertiary thing. The apron should be. Shouldn't be at the top.
Well, you could argue it was a tertiary concern for a lot of teams as you look at where their cap situation currently is.
Yeah. Wilde and tertiary.
Hi like Justin. That. Jason Wilde here. I know you have
We want to chop up. You want to chop up Bucks. You get a couple NBA cats that just know what they're talking. That's what you do, Wilde.
At least
you
one.
Chop it up.
I know you've got like other things on your plates, but I had a Jrue Holiday question. I have some questions about the second round of the draft that still is going on today. I don't suppose you have another couple minutes to stick around.
Yeah, let's
do
it. Let's do it. Yeah.
I won't even ask questions about your shoe collection. All right. A record setting third segment with Justin Garcia, our Bucks buddy. Tausch, crack open a Coors Light during it so I could get a few questions in, if you don't mind.
If you're bringing JG, I got more that I still don't fully comprehend.
Of course you do.
This apron thing. But what I do comprehend is sitting back, relaxing, and chilling with a Coors Light. Brewed with a three-step cold process, cold lager, cold filtered, and it is cold packaged, so it's made to chill. And make sure those mountains are blue when you're needing to chill to perfection. That's why it is always Coors Light in my hand when I need a moment to chill. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
All right. For those of you that are starved for Bucks content on this show, we have delivered today with our two in-house Bucks experts, Tausch, and of course Justin Garcia, who is going to stick around.
I think I'm on board. I think I'm on board with trading Brolo. I do. I think I'm on board. I think it's time. And I can't wait. Hold up. I'm going to tease this. Justin Garcia is going to tell you.
I'm leaving the photo.
If he believes that Brooke Lopez's jersey is going to be in the rafters one day in Fiserv Forum, if that time comes. We will get that back in 2 minutes. It's Wilde and Tausch.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand.